Yo, it's Jey Uso from WWE.
And I'm Jimmy Uso.
Chumba Casino and WWE are hyped for the biggest event of the summer. SummerSlam.
I know, I can't wait.
There's nothing better to do while we're waiting.
Than playing Chumba Casino.
Sign up today and you could win a VIP experience.
With Chumba Casino and WWE for SummerSlam.
So what are you waiting for?
Play Chumba Casino and enter for your chance to win.
Let's Chumba.
Yeah. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly, you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Weider kicks. Here's the pitch. Swing and a miss. He struck him out. Fastball up and in, and they get him this time. A strikeout of Carlson with two on will end things for the Cardinals here in the sixth. No runs. A hit. Two left. We're going to the seventh. It's 1-0 Phillies.
Well, good morning, everybody. You heard it. Great performance by Zach Wheeler last night as the Phillies beat the Cardinals 2-0. Rob Ellis, I'm Glenn Mack now, by the way. Good morning, everybody. Rob Ellis is with me on this fine Saturday. And, Rob, doesn't it feel like we are back in the time when every Phillies series is important, and this one particularly against a team like the Cardinals, who you're battling for the wild card? Feels great watching big-time baseball.
After a decade plus, Glenn, of being in the wilderness, you know, we're finally here. You're right. I mean, critical series, early July, games that you're hanging on every single pitch. And last night was kind of old school in that sense with both guys going deep, big plays, guys stepping up. I mean, Bohm hasn't hit a home run in a month, and he comes up with two. You win a game where the other guy goes the distance, and you only get five hits. That's what, you know, fun baseball is all about. And you're right. We're right there now.
By the way, I feel like they've been playing against Adam Wainwright since about 2004.
They have.
Actually, I think they have, right? He's 40.
Yes.
And he's been around forever.
He
forever.
Was a veteran when they knocked the Phillies out in 11, but you know, let's not even think about that.
I do always think of that. Of course I do. It was really important when they had faced the Cardinals five nights earlier. Wheeler, had faced the Cardinals five nights earlier, and he had shut them down before. They are 9-4, the Phillies and Wheeler's 13 starts, and he hasn't given up a run in the last 17-plus innings, and his ERA since April 28th is 1.53, 2.46 overall, definite all-star bid this week, right, Ron?
I will tell you, Glenn, we don't talk about it enough, one of the great, if not the greatest, free agent signings. It's in any conversation that the Phillies have had, or maybe any team in the city's had. He has been every bit of what they thought he was going to be and more. I mean, to hold that Cardinals team the last two outings to no runs in 14 innings with that lineup?
Yeah.
It's remarkable.
It's great. It's great. And listen, since June 24th, so we're really talking just over 2 weeks, the Phillies have gone 7-4 against Atlanta, San Diego, and the Cardinals, the three teams who they have to battle for those wild card spots. Phillies now are entrenched in the number six spot, which is what you got to get, but they are beating the teams around. They're beating good teams.
And they're doing it without Harper and Segura,
yeah,
and getting nothing from shortstop, from second base, from right field. It's almost unbelievable. It is hard to fathom how they're doing this, but there's something different. There's something drastically different.
Manager
about
of the decade.
Amen. 23-10 under the Tomper.
I don't know why. I mean, listen, we all know what the weaknesses of Joe Girardi were and how he was reluctant to use pitchers so many nights in a row, and he wanted to rest guys and so on, and, you know, seemed to be playing more for September than winning games in May and June. But I can't explain why they're 23-10.
I think it's a combo. There's urgency, and there wasn't any urgency with Girardi. It was like you just said. It was always tomorrow. It was always September. Hey, we're looking at this big picture. You know what? You don't always have to look at a big picture. Take day to day, and I think that's one of the things Thompson instilled in them is an urgency. He's figured out the bullpen too, Glenn, in a big way. And I think you also have had other guys just step up. Schwarber was, let's face it, he was awful in April and you know into May, and he's been ridiculous since then, and he's. In large part, along with Hoskins, just carried this team on their backs collectively since Harper went down.
So they're now six games above 500 for the first time this season, 24-10 since June 1st, ahead of the Cardinals. And by the way, head-to-head, if they have tiebreakers, head-to-head is part of it. So winning these games against the Cardinals and the Padres and the Braves are really important. You mentioned the bullpen. One of the great stories of this year is Sir Anthony, and I just kind of want your thoughts on that, because it's a guy who I really always rooted for and certainly rooted for to get back from just, you know, terrible injury that cost him 2 years of his career, and it sure seems like he's there.
Yeah, I'm with you, Glenn. I mean, I kind of wrote him off with the injuries, and I thought he was just going to be kind of one of those guys who was a flash in the pan, and we saw the great arm, and he was going to be a what could have been. Kind of player. Mm-hmm. And for him to come back from, I mean, two plus years, and you throw the pandemic in there, it's amazing. And, you know, he has real closer stuff as opposed to some guy who's just trying to kind of fake his way through it. So you throw him in the back end, and, you know, I really like, and this is a little bit of a Gabe Kapler thing, and, you know, I'm going to throw it out there, but I like what Thompson's done in that. Hey, if the killers are coming up in the eighth, guess what? I'm going to throw Dominguez in the eighth, and we'll deal, you know, hand in the ninth. He's done a really good job. I think that's the biggest attribute, other than the sense of urgency with Thompson, is the management of this pen. But you're right, Sir Anthony has stepped up in a big way. Hand, and you're doing this without Brogdon too, who I think is going to be a part of that back end also. That's one of the craziest things about this team is the bullpen went from being arguably the worst in baseball. To, you know, in the discussion as a top maybe seven bullpen?
Maybe. I mean, I haven't done the math, but it's no longer a weakness, and it is now a plus. And a guy who was a weakness, who was certainly a plus last night, was the third baseman. Let's take a listen to this.
Swinging a high fly ball center field. This is well hit. Going back on it is Carlson to the track at the wall, and it is gone. Onto the batter's eye, grass, Berman, dead center, Alec Bohm. With his fifth home run of the season as he goes dead central against Adam Wainwright, and it's 1-0 Phillies. Wainwright nods yes. Here's the pitch. Swung on, hit deep to left. This one's got a chance. Back is Donovan at the wall, looking up, and it's gone. And Alec Bohm with a two-homer night tonight against Adam Wainwright. One to center and now to left, and it's a multi-home run game for Bohm, and it's a 2-0 Phillies lead.
Well, there you go. The guy who hadn't hit a home run in a month does it with his parents and his friends making the trip from Omaha. I always love those stories. They show the mom out there getting all excited. And he hits the two. Just a couple other things I want to cover with the Phillies. Rob, we'll throw it to our callers, 215-592-9494. We have a lot we're going to cover today and some, we hope, interesting topics we're going to get you involved in. In the midst of a 6-for-45 slump, Odubel Herrera gets the start again in center field yesterday. I guess he got a hit, but he's still Odubel. After making that horrible defensive play in Washington the other night, I like Rob Thompson. I understand that he said Odubel's hit well against Wainwright over time, but when do they just glue this guy to the bench or send him packing?
Yesterday. There's no way this. Look, there's this weird faction of people who sort of. I got into it a little bit last night, which I never, ever do. I just reacted to. Tom Kelly put something out there, our Tom Kelly, and then people picked up on it. And there's a weird faction of people that still sort of stick up for him with the justification that Moniak stinks.
Like, wait, no, you got into a Twitter fight with Tom Kelly?
No. Tom put this thing out there, like, you know, Herrera's the best, you know. The best option.
All the best of the bad options.
The best of the bad options. If that's your argument, that's not an argument. And I don't mean Tom. I mean, I'm talking about other folks. Like, Moniak stinks, but that doesn't justify the stuff we've seen forever from Odubel Herrera. There's nothing new here. This is all the same bad movie. It's like sitting down and watching some garbage. It's like watching Caddyshack 2 over and over again. I mean, it's the same mistakes. He makes the same boneheaded...
This equation is Shane Victorino Caddyshack 1.
Yes, right? Exactly right.
It's been
yes.
a while since we got to see the real good one.
Yeah, it was Jackie Mason who was the star of Caddyshack 2. Anyway, so it's the same bad routes to balls in clutch situations. It's the same boneheaded base running. It's the same wild inconsistency where he'll be good for 2 weeks and then stink for a month and a half. I don't play Vierling every day. I know he's not great. He's serviceable, but he's better than Odubel. And this isn't even, if you take for a second the off the field stuff out of it, this is just as a baseball player, he stinks. And yes, it's an indictment of the organization that they don't have anything better, but enough already.
Nicely said. Agree with every word you just said. All right, well, let's get to the so-called elephant in the room, which near as I know, Rob, remains caged up because the manager has not yet addressed it. And here's what's going on. This Tuesday, the Phillies go to Toronto for a two-game set against the Blue Jays. We know they will be without, quote, several, unquote, players who have not complied with Canada's COVID vaccination policy. In order to go into and play in Toronto, you have to have your vaccination. We remember last year there was a controversy with some Phillies who declined to get vaccinated. It appears to still be that way. We don't know how many and what. They juggled the rotation. I don't want to start naming names. I think I know who some of them are, but I'm not quite sure. My opinion on this thing is, and I hate any time this issue comes up, and there's going to be other issues later today, I hate they come up, but this is my thought. By the way, the Red Sox lost a game up there last week because their closer couldn't get into right. Canada, this kid Houck, mm-hmm. and they blew a lead, and the Red Sox, like the Phillies, are fighting for a wild card spot. And these games mean a lot. Every game at this point means a lot. We have agreed as a country that people have the right to make a decision whether they're going to be vaccinated. But we've also agreed that there are consequences for those decisions. Certainly in Canada, there are consequences for those decisions. And we are now at the point where those decisions hurt your team,
yeah,
hurt your teammates. You put yourself above the team. You put yourself over the community. I cannot imagine that ownership... the Phillies management and the fellow players are delighted with the personal decisions these players have made, which will put them at a disadvantage when they play in Toronto these next two games.
Yeah, the difficulty is this isn't golf or tennis where you're just affecting yourself. As you said, this is a team setting, and that's the biggest issue here. You're talking about a team that's one game up in the wild card, Glenn, and it's right there with the Cardinals. Giants are right on their tail. Marlins aren't even that far off right now. So you're vying. You're right there. You've done a lot to get to this point. And the good news is it's only two games, but you may very well need at least one, if not both, of these games come the end of the season. This feels like it's going to be really, really tight. Like, I don't think the Phillies are good enough to run away and hide. So this game or these games could be very critical and could be the difference between the playoffs or not the playoffs. So it's a huge issue, actually.
It is a huge issue. And I don't know. We'll learn maybe today. Certainly tomorrow.
Yeah, we were supposed
imagine.
To learn yesterday, so I don't know what happened there. I'm sure they're not thrilled. They don't want to deal with it either.
No, if you're Rob Thompson, it's the last thing you want to have to talk about and deal with and figure out, okay, how am I going to put together a lineup if I have three or four guys out? Again, I have heard names, but I'm not in a position where I can verify it. I just think it sounds like the Phillies are going to be bringing a 4A team up to Toronto, and we said it. You hurt your team.
Yeah,
that's it.
Plain and
simple.
Hurt
your team. Okay, a couple other quick things, and we will address these more as the show goes on, but I just kind of want to tease some stuff out that Rob and I will be dealing with. By the way, 215-592-9494. Other news, NHL draft was over the last couple days. Flyers draft. I love this kid's name, Cutter Gauthier.
That's a great name.
Yeah, it's a hockey name, man. 18-year-old future power forward, hopefully a future center. He's going to play for Boston College next year. And they make a rather controversial trade. They bring in an offensive defenseman from Carolina, from Sewell, New Jersey, Tony DeAngelo, who's Who's got more baggage than Philly International? We'll get into that later in the show. I don't know if you want to make a quick comment on that before we dig into it later.
Yeah, it's not pretty. I mean, the only thing you can hope is that he's grown up. I mean, that's the only thing that you can hope with some of this stuff. I mean, yeah. When you're talking about, you know, stuff that went down when he was in the juniors, and it's racist and homophobic, and it's, you know, and it occurred more than once, it's troubling, to say the least. And you're talking about a team that's trying to build a culture, and you're talking about a Tortorella who's a flammable guy, right, to begin with. Mm-hmm. And he's also had run-ins with coaches. He's had run-ins with teammates. He's a combustible guy, man. He can play. He had a really good year last year, but there's a reason why he's on his fourth organization since 2017. He's bounced a lot for a young dude.
Yeah, so we'll get into the details of that. They gave up a lot for him as well. Reports of James Harden signing a 2-year deal with the Sixers. I kind of like it. I mean, I wasn't delighted to even have to have him on the team, but I think, again, we'll talk to this in detail later, but I think given the circumstances, Rob, about the best you could do.
Yeah, my greatest fear, Glenn, was this was going to be opt in and give him three more because Daryl Morey loves him. And if this is 2 years, and from what we're hearing, it's sort of a bet on himself kind of thing. It aids the Sixers and it aids him. In other words, the Sixers have a lot more cap room. He's not killing them from that perspective. Apparently, $15 million less, according to Sham Sharania. You know, that's a huge discount. And the second year may be a player option, which means he's banking on having a monster year, which means highly motivated James Harden, which, hey, I'll take it. And that's a good thing for the Sixers. This is by far the best scenario that could have happened. This is really good news. I don't love Harden. I would have, you know, let him walk, frankly. But in this case, this works, and this makes a lot of sense.
By the way, nice pronunciation on the Shams part. That's on the Sharania part. I've missed that many times myself. Actually, you know, we have a caller who wants to talk about Harden, so we'll go to him quickly. Bill in Downingtown. Bill, what's on your mind this morning?
Well, I kind of feel the Sixers screwed up in a number of areas. They had Mikal Bridges. You know what I mean? They trade him to somebody that's not even in the NBA now. And then what about Jalen Brunson? I mean, these kids at Villanova play defense. Harden never played defense in his life. I knew that was a mistake from the get-go. I mean, the guy, you know what?
I don't argue any of the specifics you said, but I can't kind of package that with Harden. Those are all separate things and in sometimes separate administrations.
Well, I would have went after Jalen, because he's better at this stage of his career, and he's a young guy.
Bill, I could tell you, he was headed to the Knicks. He wasn't heading anywhere else. His dad's there. Well, this was a done deal from Jump Street that he was going to be.
You just wave a little bit more money. That's what it all comes down to.
And they didn't have the money to wave.
Right.
Well, you don't sign Harden. If you don't sign Harden, you could go get Durant, too.
they don't have anywhere near that kind of money, Bill, even if they don't sign Harden.
Well, what would Wilt Chamberlain get today? The whole league?
Yes.
Right, he would. I'm not sure what that has to do with anything, but yes, he would.
I don't know. He would get whatever the top player is paid. That's what players get. The best player gets the top money.
We could sit here and litigate all the mistakes, and there were tons. I mean, basically all you have to show from the process is Joel Embiid, which is a disgrace. It's nothing short of it. But, I mean, we're here now. There's, you know, would we all love to have Mikal Bridges here? Of course. But, you know, that's spilled milk. This is best case scenario, and I'm not telling you, I still don't think, Glenn, they're better than Boston or Milwaukee, mm-hmm. or the usual suspects, Miami. I still don't think they are, but this is the best thing
that could have happened. I don't think they moved up or down in the standings based on signing P.J. Tucker. It's, again, nice signing, but I don't think it moves the needle, no.
Yeah.
No, and again, we'll get back to that later. We start with the Phillies. We will get into the Flyers and the Sixers. We're going to talk about the Eagles' biggest area concern later in the show, with Bo Wolf of The Athletic. Spoiler, it's not the quarterback that Bo sees as the biggest area of concern.
Okay.
Yeah, we have a terrific show to recommend for what we're watching. So you and I talked yesterday.
I love it.
You said you were going to check this show out.
Yes.
How deep did you get?
I got three episodes in.
That's where I am. That's good.
And okay. I'll give you my, you know, my review in a little bit, but I'm glad you turned me on to it.
We going thumbs up, thumbs down? We going thumbs up?
Up. Yes.
Okay, good. All right. So we'll do that for what we're watching the 11 o'clock hour, and we will mourn Two great ones in showbiz who passed away yesterday. And coming up, Rob and I are going to dive into the issue of how fans and viewers watch games anymore, which, according to surveys, the answer is they don't. There is a generational divide here on how sports fans consume TV. Rob and I will discuss that and invite you to be part of the discussion of all of this. 215-592-9494. 215-592-9494. He's Rob Ellis. I'm Glenn Acknow. It is Saturday morning on 94 WIP.
Ready to level up? Chumba Casino is your playbook to fun. It's free to play with no purchase necessary. Enjoy hundreds of online social games like blackjack, slots, and solitaire anytime, anywhere with fresh releases every week. Whether you're at home or on the go, let Chumba Casino bring the excitement to you. Plus, get free daily login bonuses and a free welcome bonus. Join now for your chance to redeem some serious prizes. Play Chumba Casino today. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. T&Cs apply.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows, and I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with, and Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy, it's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5, with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego Bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego Bricks.
The Second World War is the largest event in human history.
A 20-part series with Tom Hanks.
No part of the globe was untouched, no life unchanged.
Experience the ultimate account of World War II.
Every single person had a story. These are the stories that make us who we are.
Listen to World War II with Tom Hanks on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's Rob Ellis. I'm Glenn Macnow. 215-592-9494. Phillies Cardinals later today. All right, so I got something I want to run by you that I've been kind of marinating on for a while, mm-hmm. Rob. And I want your opinion. I definitely want Kyle Quinn's opinion because he is younger than us. And this kind of came to me when I was with my kids. I've been on vacation, and so we're up north, and we got the kids, and I'm trying to watch the Phillies games and so on. I can't get all of the games, so in some games I'm reduced to just watching the highlights, and it's driving me crazy because I feel like I'm not getting the context of all the game. And so I'm talking to my son about that, and he says, "Wait, Dad, you still watch the whole game?" And I said, "Well, yeah, that's what you do. You watch the game." And he kind of snarks and goes, "Nobody I know watches the whole game." And I assume he's just talking about baseball. But then we get into talking about the NBA and, in fact, the championship round, the finals, which had the lowest ratings of any NBA finals in the last, I think it's like 22 years or something. And they, you know, big market teams should have had a good audience, big name players. And the report I saw afterwards said the reason that the ratings are way down is because younger fans, I'm reading this off the thing, prefer to watch highlights, TikTok, Instagram, Instagram Reel. I don't even know what that is. YouTube, people under 25, and to a large extent, people under 35, consume sports, basketball and baseball, and hockey more so than football, off of watching highlights on social media. That's what they want. It's why the NBA Finals had the lowest ratings in years. I was flabbergasted. Well, maybe I wasn't. Maybe I shouldn't be. And I got all kinds of numbers and studies to back this up, and I really want to hear from people of different age groups, right? If you're 50-plus, do you sit down and watch games? If you're under, do you watch highlights? But, Rob, I'll start with you. I mean, is this a thing?
I think it's a thing, Glenn, and I think it absolutely breaks down in generational, you know, lines here. I will say this. I don't think, and we'll get Kyle's opinion on this, and he'll represent the 20-somethings, but I don't think this applies to the NFL nearly as much as it does the other sports. I think people sit down and just for example, watch Eagles games of any age virtually in their entirety. I would say this absolutely applies to the Phillies. I think it applies to the winter sports and the Phillies, certainly baseball and hockey and basketball, way more than it does football. Look,
okay. Yeah, go ahead.
No, I was just going to say, for me personally, I have zero desire to just watch a highlight of a game. I feel like I'm missing so much. Like when I did my morning TV show, Breakfast on Broad, we were on at 6 a.m.
And a fine show that was.
Thank you. I appreciate it. But I would stay up and still watch the games like a lunatic. I mean, I'd be on 2 hours sleep, but I couldn't do it. I couldn't just wake up, look at a highlight, and read a game story. I felt like I was missing the essence of what it was. But I see the way my son watches sports on his tablet. Now, he's a Sixers lunatic, so he won't miss a Sixers game. But he has no problem watching highlights of the other teams and the other sports.
Well, and I also think there may be a difference between the team you really, really root for and just the other
True.
Teams. Now, you mentioned Eagles games. Yes, Eagles fans watch Eagles games, and I believe they watch them in their entirety because it's not a game, it's an event. There's 16 of them a year. Well, no, there's not. There's 17.
Right.
God almighty. Or maybe more, you hope, if they make the playoffs.
We're going 18 soon.
Yeah, yes, I know. Whatever it is.
They played 18 last year.
But yes, they did. It is still an event that you plan your week around. Do you think your basic Philadelphia sports fan says, oh, Sunday night football, I'm going to sit down for the next 3.5 hours and watch the Chargers against the Patriots?
That's a good question. The other thing I would throw into this is the gambling aspect of it and in-game betting, which I think would keep people more tuned into an entire game rather than just a highlight. But I still say with the NFL, even out of town, that would be more. But I for sure think that would apply. Like, I think it's a great measuring stick. What's interesting to me, Glenn, about this is they're still giving out these monster TV deals, and I know things are going towards streaming, but the networks may not be this afraid of it.
I got numbers on that I'll get to in a minute because I don't understand any aspect of that. I really would like to pull people in on this. 215-592-9494 if you have a thought on this. All right, Kyle, how old are you, Kyle?
I'm 26.
All right, you're a pup, right?
Yes.
So where do you line up on this?
Well, I think it's really the generation below me
there's a generation below.
Yeah, there's a few actually, Glenn.
Wow.
So you might,
really?
Sorry to inform you of that. So I probably got like my first cell phone when I was like a young teenager. These kids nowadays, they're getting them, you know, when they're like 6, 7, I don't know, like 9 maybe.
No,
kids. Oh, well, some kids are. No,
nobody's getting cell phone at 7. Right,
not 6, but like, but they'll have like an iPad or something, some sort of screen.
Yeah, that's very true.
A screen that they're looking down at, right?
They'll have a device. Yeah.
Yeah, but I agree with Rob that I think football is an entirely different animal, and the gambling has a lot to do with it. But fantasy football also, more than anything, people are still, you know, locked in, paying attention for their guys. Baseball and basketball, though, yeah, I could easily see a kid checking out on one of those games. I think the thing is, it's not just sports, guys. It's really everything. I mean, it's an instant gratification era that we kind of live in, right? You have Twitter. People are only consuming bits, and then they move on to the very next thing. That's why highlights on YouTube, I think, are perfect for kids that age. Now, here's where football, I think, separates itself. They have Red Zone, right, which is like perfect for the attention span.
Yeah, it's crack. It's crack for
right,
the attention
of those
span.
Young kids. So you're not there's no downtime between all the plays, like in baseball and in basketball when they're calling timeouts and stuff. Like at Red Zone, you're getting play after play after play. So that, I think, is easier to keep a younger guy's attention there. But otherwise, I mean, it's hard to sit there. And kids don't watch baseball to see the little intricate games between the pitcher, the mind games between the pitcher and the batter anymore, right? Like they just want to see the ball go blasted 450 feet. I can sort of enjoy the little mind games, so I watch for that. I can enjoy the downtime between baseball because I know what's kind of going on. But for the kids, I mean, you know, they couldn't care less. They want to see what somebody tweeted about what Kyle Schwarber, you know, that Kyle Schwarber, it's a home run. They want to see what all their favorite sports guys are tweeting about Kyle Schwarber's home run instead of waiting to see, you know, what the next guy's doing in the box.
Or the bat flip or whatever the handshake is after the home run.
Exactly, the exit velo, you know, just stupid stuff like that. So it's a really, like, instant gratification, quick hit type of era, right. I think, is what it is.
Allow me to say that I, in fact, plead guilty to some of this. And when you talked about how people consume life on Twitter, I do that. I mean, I do that with my news. I subscribe to the Philadelphia Inquirer and the New York Times, and I got stacks of it at home from floor to ceiling because I always think, oh, yeah, I'm going to read this later. And then I get all my news on Twitter, and by the end of the day, it's like I'm not going to sit down and read a 100-inch article because I already saw it 15 times on Twitter. And I think baseball is the extreme of this because we can agree that baseball is long. And I think the product these days is by and large boring. And, you know, the Phillies are playing great, which has people, has us, has everybody in Philly watching it. But by and large, a baseball game is not a very exciting product these days. But the NBA and the NFL, let me give you guys some more numbers. This was a 2021 study commissioned by Variety, which is the big showbiz publication. Variety found that, and this is fans age 18 to 34, right? So Kyle's kind of right in the middle of that. 48% of NFL fans, 54% of NBA fans, and 58% of Major League Baseball fans prefer watching highlights of their favorite sports over full games. That's half of NFL watchers. Which I guess could be red zone. It's 54% of NBA watchers, while only 20% of NFL fans over 39 feel the same way. Almost half of NBA and MLB supporters in the same demographic agree with their younger peers. Nobody's watching the games.
Yeah.
Nobody's watching the games. I read this. There's an article by the guy who did the study, and he said, this is the TikTokification. It's a good word. In a way of sports, wanting smaller bits, shorter segments, highlights. Even with declining viewership, the NFL, and this relates to what you said, Rob, earlier, the NFL signed a number of media rights deals with broadcasters like Amazon, NBC, CBS, and others. The story's from 2021. Collectively, these deals were worth $113 billion over the next 11 years. That's more than a decade away, given what we're seeing. Given all that, doesn't it seem a mistake for the broadcaster to just kind of sign that big money, those big money deals?
Yeah, I just wonder if they're out of touch, if the bubble doesn't burst at some point and advertisers don't read what you're reading, Glenn. I don't quite get why that there's still that number. Now, some of those are streaming services, which are a little bit of a different way to consume things for sure. But I don't know. Is this any different than what we're getting in society in general? Like, sports are always a reflection of society. We don't have the same attention span, which means people can't sit through 2.5-3 hours of anything, let alone a sporting event. And that's one of the reasons why. Twitter, I'm going to scroll through it. I'm not going to sit there and read the New York Times in-depth piece about global warming. So I think a lot of it is a straight reflection of what's going on in our world and our life in 2022.
Let me ask you a question. You're watching an NBA game. You're watching the NBA finals, semifinals, mm-hmm. okay? Which weren't very good this year. They were
a lot of blowouts in the NBA playoffs.
But whatever. And you're watching the NBA finals. Does Rob Ellis have one hand on the remote control, kind of going back and forth during slow time so that you can keep up with the old man or whatever other show you're watching?
Mm-hmm.
That was a question.
Oh, I thought you meant one hand on my phone and on the remote.
One hand. Well, you may on the phone as well. You got two hands.
Yes. If it's not the Sixers.
I watch every damn thing with my phone in my hand looking at stuff.
So do I. Unfortunately, I eat that way, too, a lot of times.
Yes. And you have a wife who probably is as excited about it.
Oh, she's thrilled. Yeah. It's great. It's great for conversation.
Can we put down the phone spend time together?
Well, that and, you know, if the kids see you doing it, they're going to do it, too.
Right.
But, no, I agree with you 100%. If it's the Sixers, I'm probably just completely locked in. But if it's Golden State and the Celtics and it's an 8-point game, yeah, I'm seeing what Jeff Bridges is doing, and the old man. So, yeah, I'm guilty as well. Like, I'm not going to sit here and pretend like I'm, this patient guy who could sit through everything. I've become homogenized to what this world is, too. I still like watching games. Look, Glenn, I'm the sucker who will just I'm their target audience because I watch consume a ton of it, and I'm different. I know I am, and I'm not the way things are now. I get it. It has trended the other way.
It's definitely trended the other way, and we want to ask this. I mean, it's a different topic than we usually address, and you can bring up any of the other things that we have or will talk about. But I'd really love a couple of people to just weigh in on this, of whatever age group you are, and say and ask you the question: how do you watch games anymore? Do you still watch games? Do you prefer highlights to games? Do you, you know, wait until the morning, or you know, check 11:30 at night before you go to bed? Let's get the highlights of all the games, which are, God, you can get them all, and they're great, and I can consume the whole thing in 20 minutes. By the way, you know who started all this? The guilty party. If it is guilty, I don't want to put a value judgment on it, but you know who started this whole thing?
ESPN with SportsCenter?
ESPN, that is correct.
But I still say, maybe ignorance is bliss. If you aren't watching a game, you're not picking up on a lot of stuff that's going on.
Yeah, but not everybody feels the need to.
I think
you're in the business. You have to.
True. Very true. I think baseball is probably number one on this trend list. And I would say football would
haven't
would,
we suffered enough?
Would fall last. But your point about baseball is right. You know, people can say whatever they want. It's not as aesthetically pleasing as it was. It is an all or nothing game that's become about middle relief, which is the least sexiest thing on the face of the earth.
Yeah, it's about strikeouts and home runs.
Right.
Let's get Mike in Exton and see what he thinks about this. Hey, Mike.
Hi, guys. I definitely went in on this. I've reverted back to listening to sports on the radio. There's too many commercials, and these people on TV talk way too much.
Hmm. Well, hold on. There's no more. Are there any fewer commercials on radio?
Well, you know, it's an easier to listen. You know, I only listen to Philly sport. That's for me. I mean, it's too. I watch. It's hard even getting through an Eagles game. I remember watching the Thursday night football game with Brady, and I had to go listen to Merrill.
Well, I can't fault you there. I mean, there are times where the national broadcast just don't know as much about your team. And you are better off. Glenn, I'll tell one other thing on this.
He's bringing up a valid but separate issue.
Yeah, sort of a different deal. But I will say this, and this is sort of touches on what he mentioned. I don't know if you remember this game. Remember the Phillies played that that early 12 o'clock game? Was it against the Nats? It was the Amazon, the Peacock game. Do you remember
yes,
that?
Yes, I did not watch that on television.
Okay. But, yes. It was a challenge to listen to watch and listen to the broadcast. They're trying to go in this direction. And in fact, last week, I think they didn't even have announcers, believe it or not.
Yeah, there was a game in Detroit.
Right.
Yeah.
It's become more of sort of like talk show as opposed to play-by-play. And the problem that you have is they try to, like, they put Ruben Amaro there with Kevin Franson, who certainly has a knowledge of the Phillies. There's no doubt, but he does Nats games now. And Jason Benintendi, who does national stuff in the White Sox. But he clearly didn't know, like he mentioned, again, Real Muto, clearly one of the, probably the greatest catcher in baseball right now. No, he's not. You haven't been watching the Phillies all year if you're saying that.
You get that a lot with the national
right.
games. But that, again, it's a different issue, and I don't think that's not why people are watching it, because we're talking about local broadcasts.
Yeah.
We're talking about all of the sports. We're not talking about the fact that I have to suffer through Alex Rodriguez, although that's, that, again, separate but very viable issue.
Yeah.
Well, let's see what people think. 215-592-9494. He's Rob Ellis. I'm Glenn Mack. Now hit us up on 94 WIP. And it's time for me to talk to you and tell you that summer heat means it's that time of year to crank up the AC and keep your home cooling more efficiently. And to help save you money on high energy bills, I suggest you go Gaida and finally replace those old, drafty, inefficient windows and doors with great people at Gaida Door and Window. Right now, Gaida is offering the biggest discounts of the year with their big 40% off summer sales event on all expertly installed windows and doors. You'll receive 40% off each window you buy. That's 40% off all high-performance, energy-efficient, triple-pane windows. And you receive 40% off any door, including insulated entry doors, patio doors, garage doors, and storm doors. Plus, get your project started today with no money down and pay it off interest-free for up to 18 full months. All prior sales excluded. Minimum purchases required. Don't let this pass you by. Go Gaida today. Call to schedule a free in-home estimate at 1-877-GO-GAIDA or visit them at GoGaida.com. That's Go, GUIDA.com. He's Rob Ellis. I'm Glenn Mack. Now let's talk to Jack in Roxborough. What's going on, Jack?
Oh, nothing much, gentlemen. How are we doing this morning?
Doing great, Jack.
I just want to touch on a couple of your topics real quick. First off, I think the biggest thing these days is time has just become too valuable. You can't sit there and stuff and watch every Sixers game and, you know, start to finish, Phillies games, all that stuff. Now it's just a filler. The only time I really carve out time is Eagles Sundays. I'll take that 3.5 hours and just dedicate it to being an Eagles fan. Mm-hmm. But other than that, you just don't have enough time to sit around and watch sports anymore. That's everything true. I catch is an hour in the morning getting the kids ready and stop watching SportsCenter. Sundays, if I'm in the kitchen cooking dinner, doing the dishes or whatever, I got the Phillies on the TV and stuff in the kitchen. You just don't have that kind of time to invest to be a 4-for-4 guy anymore.
It's a fair point. There are more games, more teams, and the games are longer. I think it's a fair point.
Yeah, and look, it's not that people didn't work hard back in the day, but, it, you know, you'd be hustling 2-3 jobs. I get it. Kids, it's a lot. It is. There's no doubt. It is a time drag to have to be – not to keep up with all of it. It is a challenge for sure.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Jack.
Well, sorry.
Yeah.
He might have had something else to say. It's my pal Lou in Mount Laurel. You're on with Rob Ellison, Glenn. Hey. Now, hey, Lou.
Hey, Glenn. Hey, Rob. How are you?
Hey, Lou.
Glenn, yesterday, I'm sorry if I get upset, but yesterday was one of the worst days in Italian-American history ever.
Oh, I know.
Because we signed Tony D'Angelo, and then how does the Lord pay us? He takes away Paul Wallace from us because we signed Tony D'Angelo. It's a direct correlation. It's an outrage.
It's interesting cause and effect.
I've never been so embarrassed. I've never been so embarrassed to have a vowel at the end of my name, and we have Guy Fieri and Tony D'Angelo. I'm done. I'm done, Glenn.
And Sonny Corleone.
I'm done. And we lost Sonny the day before. James Caan. What's up with Tony D'Angelo? Why? Come on.
Yeah. We're going to get into that in the next segment. I am eager to hear, Lou. I know you as a good and loyal hockey fan, and I want to hear of your outrage.
It killed me. And then you look at what they gave up. We give up Ghost and a pick just to take him. We sign Ristolin, and of course we have the only player in the world that gets cooped up by the Russian government where we could potentially have another goalie. I swear this organization is cursed, Glenn. I swear to God.
It's only been 47 years, Lou. I mean, what's the big deal? What's the rush?
But I've watched Tony D'Angelo. Not only is he mediocre, he's a scumbag of a human being. Why?
He's had a lot of incidents.
Why?
Yeah. And Lou, as always, tremendous contribution by you, and your outrage and your humor is great. I'm kind of saving that for the next segment because I want to dive deep into it. But one of the things he raised, I think everybody kind of knows about it, all the behavioral issues. I don't know that he's as good a player as they think he is, and we'll discuss a lot of that coming up. But
Glenn,
fine connection he made between that and poor Tony Sirico,
right, and Paulie Walnuts. I truly believe this is ahead. They don't think Ryan Ellis is coming back.
If you think Ryan Ellis is coming back, you'd probably not make this deal.
No, this is a hedge to an extent. I mean, it's not like you gave a lot up for the hedge, but it would tell me as we sit here on July 9th that they're not expecting much out of Ryan Ellis in terms of playing.
Yeah, I think so. Let's go to Fred. You're on with Rob and Glenn. Hey, Fred.
Happy Saturday, gentlemen. Rob, my fellow Temple Owl alum.
Hey, Fred.
Always good to talk to you guys. Glenn, listen every Saturday.
Thank you, man.
Down here in South Carolina.
Thank you.
And I don't know how I follow up Lou, because that's radio gold right there. I don't know how to do it. I'm going to tell you that from my watching perspective, I'm more closer to your guys' age, so I'm still invested in the games. I will tell you that my NBA watching experience gets really, really a drudgery when you see guys three, clunk, miss, down the court, three, clunk, miss. I mean, they miss far more shots in today's game than they ever made. Now, I get it. Everybody's hitting the 3-and-D, but it becomes unwatchable. And in baseball with launch angles, and I know I sound like the guy standing on the lawn screaming, get off my lawn. But, you know, when you watch strikeout after strikeout after strikeout or ground out after ground out after ground out, it is really difficult to
maintain your interest in games like that. Where in football, in an instant, it can happen. I mean, for crying out loud, they put the USFL on TV and sold advertising for that. So
yeah, I didn't watch a second of that. Did you? Was it any good?
No, it was horrible. Okay. It you know what it was like? It was like watching the fourth preseason game every single week.
Quite an endorsement there.
Yeah. I'm just saying. But it was slightly better than the CFL. So, but it also goes to that idea that, you know, football is an event. I think it's the reason why the world embraces soccer, because it's an event and something can happen at any moment. Where in, say, basketball or in baseball, it's drudgery. And those of us who are passionate about sports, yes, we will endure the drudgery. But today's generation, and even the generation beyond them, they haven't come up, like Rob said, and other people have mentioned, but the idea is that it, you know, as soon as they're bored, they tune out. Because, you know, the idea is people will stream TV shows seven in a row. They'll sit hours and hours and hours and watch a show. So it isn't about that. But the advertising comes to, you know, people, the reason why I think advertisers do it is because it's there. It's content. So instead of one sponsor sponsoring one set of stream things, you can get three or four sponsors into a game, even if nobody's watching.
And Fred, I got to run, but very good stuff.
Yeah.
Listen, Rob, the argument always in terms of why sports gets such high rights fees is because it's the one thing you got to watch live.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You and I can watch our TV shows whenever we want to watch them.
Mm-hmm.
Sports, you got to watch live. But now all this, you know, this information, the studies show, no, people don't watch live. Several of our callers have said they don't watch live because the content's not as good as it used to be. I think that those callers are not the 18 to 35-year-olds who don't know what it used to be. They don't know that the content isn't as good as it used to be. They just have different ways of consuming everything. I blame Sesame Street.
Well, here's one of the things I wonder as I'm thinking about this, right? And we brought up the trend towards streaming and Amazon taking over Thursday Night Football and all those kind of things. If everything, and I believe all the numbers you've thrown out there, you know, to me, this then bodes very poorly for the traditional CBS, ABC, Fox going forward, and everything goes towards streaming because they already have you. In other words, you've paid your prescription, your subscription price to sign up for these networks. Whereas if people aren't paying attention and watching the games and they're bailing, eventually network TV is going to say, this isn't worth our investment.
Yeah.
It's not.
Or you know what else? You know what else I think we're going to see more of is alternate ways of presenting you the games.
Yeah.
Example, the NFL did those Nickelodeon games in the last couple of years to attract younger audiences. By all accounts, those were a big hit.
Mm-hmm.
Example, the Manning Brothers simulcast,
yeah,
which they've also done with Barkley and done in other sports.
They're doing it with Sunday Night Baseball. I don't know if anybody's paying attention, but A-Rod's involved in that, your boy.
Yeah, well, that's the problem, is nobody wants to hear A-Rod.
Correct.
The Manning thing worked because you felt like you were sitting on the couch with them, and they had really cool guests, and the brothers pulled it off, and it was fun. A-Rod's just a drip. But I think that we'll get more creative programming rather than at 7:05, I'm Mel Allen, and here comes the first pitch.
Yeah, and that goes back to what I was saying. I think that's what Peacock is trying to do poorly, but they're trying to do it. You're right. I think it's going to turn more into almost sports talk as opposed to traditional play-by-play.
Well, maybe we got a future yet.
That's it. And it's coming, Glenn. We just got to stick around for a little while longer. Get Ray out of retirement.
He's enjoying himself too much. I'll sneak in one more call. V, you're on with Rob and Glenn. Hello, V?
For Lena?
I think V got distracted by something else. Yeah. All right. Well, then you know what? We will take the break. We will come back. We will talk to the folks at 215-592-9494. And, yeah, coming up, we'll talk about that trade the Flyers made yesterday that has a lot of people upset. 215-592-9494. He's Rob Ellis. I'm Glenn Mack. Now, Saturday morning on 94 WIP.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at chumbacasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
Football is fun. Why shouldn't your football podcast be the same?
Follow and listen to Heed the Call NFL podcast with Dan Hansis and Mark Sessler wherever you get your podcasts.
He's Rob Ellis. I'm Glenn Mack. Now let's talk to Jack in Roxborough. What's going on, Jack?
Oh, nothing much, gentlemen. How are we doing this morning?
Doing great, Jack.
I just want to touch on a couple of your topics real quick. First off, I think the biggest thing these days is time has just become too valuable. You can't sit there and stuff and watch every Sixers game and, you know, start to finish, Phillies games, all that stuff. Now it's just a filler. The only time I really carve out time is Eagles Sundays. I'll take that 3.5 hours and just dedicate it to being an Eagles fan. Mm-hmm. But other than that, you just don't have enough time to sit around and watch sports anymore. That's everything true. I catch is an hour in the morning getting the kids ready and stop watching SportsCenter. Sundays, if I'm in the kitchen cooking dinner, doing the dishes or whatever, I got the Phillies on the TV and stuff in the kitchen. You just don't have that kind of time to invest to be a 4-for-4 guy anymore.
It's a fair point. There are more games, more teams, and the games are longer. I think it's a fair point.
Yeah. And look, it's not that people didn't work hard back in the day, but, if you could be hustling 2-3 jobs. I get it. Kids, it's a lot. It is. There's no doubt. It is a time drag to have to be – not to keep up with all of it. It is a challenge for sure.
All right. Thank you.
Thanks, Jack.
Well, sorry.
Yeah.
He might have had something else to say. It's my pal Lou in Mount Laurel. You're on with Rob Ellison, Glenn. Hey. Now, hey, Lou.
Hey, Glenn. Hey, Rob. How are you?
Hey, Lou.
Glenn, yesterday, I'm sorry if I get upset, but yesterday was one of the worst days in Italian-American history ever.
Oh, I know.
Because we signed Tony D'Angelo, and then how does the Lord pay us? He takes away Paulie Walnuts from us because we signed Tony D'Angelo. It's a direct correlation. It's an outrage.
It's interesting cause and effect.
I've never been so embarrassed. I've never been so embarrassed to have a vowel at the end of my name, and we have Guy Fieri and Tony D'Angelo. I'm done. I'm done, Glenn.
And Sonny Corleone.
I'm done. And we lost Sonny the day before. James Caan. What's up with Tony D'Angelo? Why? Come on.
Yeah. We're going to get into that in the next segment. I am eager to hear, Lou. I know you as a good and loyal hockey fan, and I want to hear of your outrage.
It killed me. And then you look at what they gave up. We give up Ghost and a pick just to take him. We sign Ristolin, and of course we have the only player in the world that gets cooped up by the Russian government where we could potentially have another goalie. I swear this organization is cursed, Glenn. I swear to God.
It's only been 47 years, Lou. I mean, what's the big deal? What's the rush?
But I've watched Tony D'Angelo. Not only is he mediocre, he's a scumbag of a human being. Why?
He's had a lot of incidents.
Why?
Yeah. And Lou, as always, tremendous contribution by you, and your outrage and your humor is great. I'm kind of saving that for the next segment because I want to dive deep into it. But one of the things he raised, I think everybody kind of knows about it, all the behavioral issues. I don't know that he's as good a player as they think he is, and we'll discuss a lot of that coming up. But
Glenn,
fine connection he made between that and poor Tony Sirico,
right, and Paulie Walnuts. I truly believe this is ahead. They don't think Ryan Ellis is coming back. Four games.
Think Ryan Ellis is coming back, you'd probably not make this deal.
No, this is a hedge to an extent. I mean, it's not like you gave a lot up for the hedge, but it would tell me as we sit here on July 9th that they're not expecting much out of Ryan Ellis in terms of playing.
Yeah, I think so. Let's go to Fred. You're on with Rob and Glenn. Hey, Fred.
Happy Saturday, gentlemen. Rob, my fellow Temple Owl alum.
Hey, Fred.
Always good to talk to you guys. Glenn, listen every Saturday.
Thank you, man.
Down here in South Carolina.
Thank you.
And I don't know how I follow up Lou, because that's just that's radio gold right there. I don't know how to do it. I'm going to tell you that from my watching perspective, I'm more closer to your guys' age, so I'm still invested in the games. I will tell you that my NBA watching experience gets really, really a drudgery when you see guys three, clunk, miss, down the court, three, clunk, miss. I mean, they miss far more shots in today's game than they ever made. Now, I get it. Everybody's hitting the 3-and-D, but it becomes unwatchable. And in baseball with launch angles, and I know I sound like the guy standing on the lawn screaming, get off my lawn. But, you know, when you watch strikeout after strikeout after strikeout or ground out after ground out after ground out, it is really difficult to maintain your interest in games like that. Where in football, in an instant, it can happen. I mean, for crying out loud, they put the USFL on TV and sold advertising for that. So
yeah, I didn't watch a second of that. Did you? Was it any good?
No, it was horrible. It you know what it was like? It was like watching the fourth preseason game every single week.
Quite an endorsement there.
Yeah. I'm just saying. But it was slightly better than the CFL. So, but it also goes to that idea that, you know, football is an event. I think it's the reason why the world embraces soccer, because it's an event and something can happen at any moment. Where in, say, basketball or in baseball, it's drudgery. And those of us who are passionate about sports, yes, we will endure the drudgery. But today's generation, and even the generation beyond them, they haven't come up, like Rob said, and other people have mentioned. But the idea is that as soon as they're bored, they tune out. Because, you know, the idea is people will stream TV shows seven in a row. They'll sit hours and hours and hours and watch a show. So it isn't about that. But the advertising comes to, you know, people, the reason why I think advertisers do it is because it's there, it's content. So instead of one sponsor sponsoring one set of stream things, you can get three or four sponsors into a game, even if nobody's watching it.
And Fred, I got to run, but very good stuff.
Yeah.
Listen, Rob, the argument always in terms of why sports gets such high rights fees is because it's the one thing you got to watch live.
Yes.
Right?
Yes.
You and I can watch our TV shows whenever we want to watch them.
Mm-hmm.
Sports, you got to watch live. But now all this, you know, this information, the studies show, no, people don't watch live. Several of our callers have said they don't watch live because the content's not as good as it used to be. I think that those callers are not the 18 to 35-year-olds who don't know what it used to be. They don't know that the content isn't as good as it used to be. They just have different ways of consuming everything. I blame Sesame Street.
Well, here's one of the things I wonder as I'm thinking about this, right? And we brought up the trend towards streaming and Amazon taking over Thursday Night Football and all those kind of things. If everything, and I believe all the numbers you've thrown out there, you know, to me, this then bodes very poorly for the traditional CBS, ABC, Fox going forward, and everything goes towards streaming because they already have you. In other words, you've paid your prescription, your subscription price to sign up for these networks. Whereas if people aren't paying attention and watching the games and they're bailing, eventually network TV is going to say, this isn't worth our investment.
Yeah.
It's not.
Or you know what else? You know what else I think we're going to see more of is alternate ways of presenting you the games.
Yeah.
Example, the NFL did those Nickelodeon games in the last couple of years to attract younger audiences. By all accounts, those were a big hit.
Mm-hmm.
Example, the Manning Brothers simulcast, which they've also done with Barkley and done in other sports.
They're doing it with Sunday Night Baseball. I don't know if anybody's paying attention, but A-Rod's involved in that, your boy.
Yeah, well, that's the problem is nobody wants to hear A-Rod.
Correct.
The Manning thing worked because you felt like you were sitting on the couch with them and they had really cool guests and the brothers pulled it off and it was fun. A-Rod's just a drip. But I think that we'll get more creative programming rather than At 7:05, I'm Mel Allen, and here comes the first pitch.
Yeah, and that goes back to what I was saying. I think that's what Peacock is trying to do poorly, but they're trying to do it. You're right. I think it's going to turn more into almost sports talk as opposed to traditional play-by-play.
Well, maybe we got a future yet.
That's it. And it's coming, Glenn. We just got to stick around for a little while longer. Get Ray out of retirement.
He's enjoying himself too much. I'll sneak in one more call. V, you're on with Rob and Glenn. Hello, V? I think V got distracted by something else. Yeah. All right. Well, then you know what? We will take the break. We will come back. We will talk to the folks at 215-592-9494. And, yeah, coming up, we'll talk about that trade the Flyers made yesterday that has a lot of people upset. 215-592-9494. He's Rob Ellis. I'm Glenn Mack. Now, Saturday morning on 94 WIP.
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing.
And Bubba Wallace.
You know what's the worst part of a race? A rain delay.
Sitting around, waiting for the track to dry, is dull.
But instead of waiting, we hang out with Chumba Casino.
Social casino slots, bingo, solitaire, plenty of fun to keep us entertained.
So why let a rain delay slow you down? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
It's always amazing to see how quickly your child grows. And I'm not just talking about their height. From those early babbles to full-on storytelling, getting to watch how their ideas, creativity, and confidence develop over the years is honestly pretty incredible. Sometimes they surprise you with what they come up with. And Lego Bricks can be right there with them through all of those stages. It's not just a toy. It's a full creative building journey that keeps evolving as they do. Lego Sets Play starts as early as 1.5 with Lego Duplo, the bigger bricks designed for little hands that are just starting to explore and build. Then around age 4, kids transition to the smaller Lego bricks, and suddenly you're watching real structures take shape, real ideas form, and their imagination really take off. They begin with simple stacking, but over time they grow into full-on creators, building worlds, stories, and things you never would have expected. That's the kind of magic of Lego bricks. You're not buying a phase, you're starting a journey. Learn more and start building today with Lego bricks.
Every week on the Moth Podcast, you'll hear true stories that will intrigue you, inspire you, and make you laugh.
He said, "Is there anything in your diet that might be spiking your blood sugar?" I said, "Sometimes I eat pizza until I'm unconscious." He said, "I think that might be it."
For real stories live on stage from comedians, astronauts, accountants, farmers, and people just like you, follow and listen to The Moth wherever you get your podcasts.